RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's game week for the Indiana Hoosiers, and hello to the guys from Crimson Cast who are driving from Bloomington to Pasadena right now. And Crimson Cast, if you follow along, if you're an Indiana fan, you know that is headed by Galen Clavio, who runs the sports media program at Indiana University. They are driving from Bloomington to Pasadena, and they're going to make a stop in St. Louis this morning. I'm going to try to time this out so I can catch them after the show. If not, I wish them bon voyage and bring back a win, please, as Indiana takes on Alabama coming up on January 1st. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have a lot of good things to bring to you, including the interview of the year from Sports on a Sunday Morning. We'll play that for you in the 10:15 portion of the show, as well as just my quick thoughts. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, Drew, because 2025 was not a good year for sports in St. Louis for the most part. And I'm just going to give a little bit of a review of each team and a look forward for each team. It'll be real quick, and that'll be during the 10:15 portion as well. Let's start with what happened yesterday and kind of work our way through the show. Billiken basketball coming your way at 1:45 today. We have that for you with a 2 o'clock tip-off. It's going to be St. Louis University and Principia. That game is at Chaffetz, and it's your last chance to catch a non-conference game. Grab a seat, get close, go see the Billikens, because the A-10 schedule, I'm telling you right now, once they start to gain some traction and people start to figure out that they are a juggernaut, which they are, those tickets are going to go. And they could end up, I'm not going to say they're going to run the table or anything in the A-10. It's going to be very hard. But if they can stack up some quality wins, I don't know how the NCAA Tournament Committee turns them away, even if they think the A-10 is a one-bid league. SLU right now is 27 in the net. They're 11-1 on the season, and their one loss was a last-second lucky bounce and lucky shot that went in, and congratulations to Stanford, but that's the only blemish on their schedule, is a loss to Stanford out in Palm Springs. That's it. Otherwise, they're 11-1, and they've taken care of business, and they do it with great efficiency, very entertaining. They average 91 points a game. I mean, they're the real deal, folks. St. Louis University is the best basketball team in the state of Missouri. You cannot argue it. They're better than Mizzou. They're better than everybody else in the state right now, and we'll see what they have today. They're going to score a ton of points today, and then we'll see how they are against St. Joseph's on December 31st. The one thing that works against them is the A-10 does not have a very hefty NCAA net themselves. VCU is the next closest, and they're 59th in the net. So there's some work to do there. George Mason is 75th. St. Joseph's, their opponent on New Year's Eve, is 249th in the NCAA net, just as an example. So SLU just has to forget about the net. I'll take care of the net. Let them just win and stay healthy. And that's going to be a fun season for them. We'll talk to Rebecca Tillett, the women's coach. They're starting to play really well here. And they play today against St. Louis College of Pharmacy. And then they start their A-10. They've already played an A-10 game, but they start getting going here fairly soon with some big games. They're going to play right after the men at 5 o'clock today. SLU is 6-7, the women's team is, but they're 4-1 in the month of December, with their only loss to Missouri back on December 14th. And then they start the season New Year's Eve. They play at noon at Duquesne to start their A-10 schedule. Rebecca Tillett, the head coach of the Billikens, is going to join us at 10:30. At 10:45, we will break down the Blues. They won 3-2 last night over the Nashville Predators. Pavel Buchnevich had a pair of goals. Robert Thomas had a pair of assists. And Joel Hofer had 30 saves. And that's the key here for the Blues moving forward. Get great goaltending and play good defense. And hopefully the goal scoring will come. They did get Jordan Kyrou and Jimmy Snuggerud back from injury both the same day. The Blues are a point out of a playoff spot. At 11:05, we'll break down our picks for the NFL and the college football playoffs. And the CFP is happening December 31st with Ohio State and Miami. January 1st, you've got Texas Tech and Oregon, Indiana and Alabama, Georgia and Ole Miss. Mizzou lost last night to Virginia 13-7 in the Gator Bowl. Same old story for Missouri. They can't get the offense going. Their defense keeps them in the game. Special teams are an adventure, and they don't really call they call plays that are interesting, but they also don't execute plays that are called. You know, they got a third and seven, or third and eight, they're running a 7-yard route. I mean, these little things start to feed on you, and Missouri just does not have any continuity offensively right now. So that's a problem, and they need to figure that out. They do have a new offensive coordinator in Chip Lindsey in Michigan. That's great, but they need a good signal caller here. Is Matt Zoller the guy, or do they need to go out and find a guy? Bo Perbula has entered the portal. Eli Drinkwitz is a very smart, very good coach, and a good leader. But to take the next step in the SEC, they need to be great in their passing game. They lost 13-7 to Virginia. At 11:15, Mark Schreiber, the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. Hey, today's the day they air the Musial Awards on CBS. It's a big day for them. A lot of people watching, and it's the only, unless the Cardinals are in the World Series or the Blues are in the Stanley Cup, it's the only time you have a national television audience and a national show right here in St. Louis. I mean, unless the Billikens are playing a big game or city or something like that, but this is a network television big time matchup here, showcase here, I should say, for the Musial Awards for great sportsmanship. The stories are incredible, and Mike Bush does a wonderful job. They somehow condense that down to an hour show. I don't know how, but I will watch and see how they did it. But he's also going to talk to us about the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. That's at 11:15. 11:30, he visits with us every Sunday. We can't thank him enough. It's Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. No, the Cardinals have not made a move since Christmas. But yes, they are looking. And yes, we need to talk to Chaim about it. And yeah, we need to ask him about this Red Sox deal and deals that have happened. They've done a ton of deals with the Red Sox. Steven Matz, Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras, even Dustin May was last with the Red Sox. He was a free agent pitcher that they picked up that they had their eye on. And now there are reports that the Red Sox are looking at Brendan Donovan. That's crazy. So we'll look at that. And then 11:45, Bernie Miklas to sum it all up, as he always does incredibly well. That's the show, Sports on a Sunday Morning from 10 to 12. We'll come back. We'll have a quick, and I mean quick, review of 2025, because it wasn't great. I don't want to harp on the negative, you know me, but I am going to take a look at what they need to do to be better in 2026, and then we'll have our interview of the year from Sports on a Sunday Morning in that 10:15 portion.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in the Stiefel Sports Studio. We'll be right back. All right, I want to be brief because we're going to get to our interview of the year from Sports on a Sunday Morning. But this is my quick thought on the teams in town. The Cardinals are in a rebuild. It's okay to say. It doesn't mean that they're tearing it down to the studs necessarily, but it's close. I mean, they want to get this thing back to being the machine that it once was. So as it stands right now, the Cardinals look like a team that could be pretty competitive. But I'm anticipating that Brendan Donovan will be traded, that Nolan Arenado will be traded, maybe Lars Nootbaar will be traded. And the Cardinals will continue to compile pitching. What happened in the past is the past. It maybe took them too long to recognize that the minor league system needed a repair, but they hired Heim Bloom. We'll ask him at 11:30. What I want to do is kind of go back. I would like him to tell us when he understood that this needed to be changed, when this decision was made by ownership and the transition took place, but also what he's trying to do to build it back. I think we've told the Cardinals story enough at this point. 2026 is a year of rebuild, and hopefully it leads to great things again, because you certainly miss the championships that this team won. The Blues won a championship in 2019. They are not close to being a Stanley Cup contender right now, but they are a point out of the playoffs in the West. Do not expect this team to go on a run like it did after the Four Nations faceoff, which is what makes 2025 a good season for the Blues, because they did make the playoffs and they did push Winnipeg to the last second and unfortunately had the tables turned on them. But the Blues are showing some improvement with good goaltending. They just have a lot of they just don't have that superstar goal scorer that they need. And maybe that guy is still in the minors or in juniors. Maybe it's Justin Carboneau. You know, maybe it can emerge and be Jimmy Snuggerud. But they just don't have that high-powered goal scoring that they need to compete at the highest of levels. I think that they can play when they are engaged a physical game. If they get good goaltending from Binnington and Hofer and get good defense in front of them because of that, and those two things tend to work together, hopefully they do, the Blues maybe can become a more complete team. The coach is fine. The front office is going to change eventually. And they're trying to develop, not at the Cardinals level, but they are developing younger players for their future core. That's exactly what City is doing right now. They have changed things over. New coach, new sporting director. A bit of a refresh for them. Still a fan base that loves and appreciates them, and I look forward to seeing what's to come for City. And then for the Battlehawks, trying to hire a new coach is not the easiest thing, but it's out of our control. This is the UFL's decision as to who they're going to put. So it's a stranger kind of, you know, situation if you're a fan, because there's not like an ownership group here in St. Louis that goes out and picks a coach. I mean, it's the league decides who's going to coach you. They go find the guy, and then they have guaranteed us that it's going to continue the winning tradition after they took Anthony Becht and put him in Orlando. And as for the college teams, we already went through Mizzou football and what their issues are. Illinois has got to fix what their foundation is supposed to be, which is solid on both lines, offensive and defensive. They got to get back to that. Hopefully good things to come for them. Illinois basketball is the best of the bunch. They are a legit Final Four threat. And SLU is kind of a dark horse that the nation, I think, appreciates them more than St. Louis does. And that's not a knock on you folks out there. I'm just telling you, I think that there's still a wait-and-see attitude in St. Louis as to how good the Billikens are, when reality is they're good. And people around the country have noticed. That's why they're ranked 27th in the net right now. Not just the computers, but humans do believe that the Billikens have a shot to be really, really special. And I think they deserve your attention, quite honestly. I think in a very short matter of time, Josh Schertz has turned this thing around. This could be one of the more dangerous Billikens teams we've seen since that 94-95 team that Charlie Spoonauer had going with Claggett and H. Waldman and Scott Highmark, and they were bombing threes and scoring tons of points. That was a fun team. This is a fun team. And then, you know, just overall, it's going to be a great year in 2026. The BMW Championship is coming to Belrive Country Club. Worldwide Technology will have another NASCAR playoff race and an IndyCar race at night. And so many things, good things, are happening in St. Louis. The U.S. Figure Skating Championships, the NCAA Tournament is coming here, and on it goes. We host big events. Don't ever doubt St. Louis as a sports town. And I'm sending the message to all leaders here in St. Louis. Make St. Louis attractive for sports fans. It is still our bread and butter. We have great arts, great music, great culture, great food. But we have sports, and we do it as well as anybody when we are fully engaged and we have your help. And I mean the leaders of St. Louis. Now, on to one of the great moments in KMOX history. This was 40 years ago, and as we celebrate our 100th anniversary, this is appropriate to play. Our interview of the year is with the Hall of Famer himself, the one who just turned 71 on Friday, Ozzie Smith, and a look back at Game 5 of the 1985 NLCS. And here it is.
Ozzie hangs over the plate. He's not the long ball threat from the left side. Pops it up. That'll be foul ball and out of play. Strike one to Ozzie. 0-day in the American League playoffs. They'll play at Toronto tomorrow night. They play Ozzie to the opposite field. Here's the pitch. Swing and a pop foul, strike two. And he's hard to handle the smoking Tom Niedenfuhr.
He's trying to pull the ball.
Niedenfuhr is 6'5", 225. Big man from the North Country, Minnesota. First baseman and the third baseman guard the lines. Ozzie with one out. Took a ball just outside. Cardinals have left 10 men on, and they left a lot of men on early. Had a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 and a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
And that they did 40 years ago today, Game 5 of the 1985 NLCS. The Cardinals win it over the Dodgers on a home run by Ozzie Smith. And Ozzie joins us now, KMOX on the Gas House Gang. Ozzie, it is great to have you. There's the entire at-bat for you on KMOX that day, October 14th. What's it like to hear that?
Well, I tell you, you know, as the years go on, you know, you forget some of the details. And you know, things happen so quickly. The Dodgers had always tried to get me out inside, Tom, and I figured they were not going to change that. And as Jack said in the broadcast there, that I wasn't a threat from the left-hand side. But in 1985, things had kind of come together for me from an offensive standpoint. I'd gotten a little stronger. I'd worked with Mackie Shillstone and gotten a little stronger. So, you know, I'd learned to pull the ball. And so I think Mike Shannon mentioned it there in the broadcast that I was trying to get the ball, trying to pull the ball, and I certainly was because I knew they were coming inside, and I had learned how to pull the ball, and I was trying to get myself in scoring position. And, you know, he supplied the power, I supplied the technique, and, you know, and history was made. I was just lucky that Jack was on the mic at that particular time and made the call that even more exciting.
It was amazing. Here's a little bit more of Jack. So he let the crowd go for a good minute and a half and just let the roar come in. Here's how it sounded.
Now you'll go to a lot of ball games before you see the likes of this one. The crowd, and they're all here. I think some folks have come into the park since the ball was hit just barely over the right field fence. Right field umpire hustled out there, gave the home run call. It hit one of those concrete pillars just beyond the fence and came back onto the field. In fact, the Dodgers tried to make a tag on Smith as he was happily circling the bases with a winning run in this 3-2 victory. Each team five hits. Niedenfuhr had retired Willie McGee. And then Ozzie came up, and twice he swung from the heels. And I was thinking, why is he trying to hit the ball out of the park? He can't do it. He had no home runs from the left side this year, and I think that that's the first major league left-handed home run that he has ever hit. I'll be darned if against Niedenfuhr, a very hard thrower. Here he comes. No, that's a bad boy. Get back in there, kid. I thought Smith was coming out to take a bow. That's the first home run ever left-handed for Ozzie Smith. That's been substantiated now as it just barely got over the fence and right. And he was behind on the count when he smacked it. And the Cardinals, as a result, have the lead over the Dodgers 3-2. They have to win one more to get to the World Series. It was a memorable clout, whether you were watching or listening. It was really something. These fans are still here on their feet. There he is! He started the game with a somersault, and he ended it with a home run. I'll have the totals in a moment.
Now that has it all right there. You got Jack, you got the Aussie chant, you got the heat is on playing in the background. That's some good stuff right there. How about that?
That was very memorable, and it's nice to go back and listen to that. You know, it brings a smile to my face, you know, because that was such a special moment for all of us that are Cardinal baseball fans, Tom, and for anybody who has had the pleasure of enjoying or listening to that Jack Buck through the years. It's nice to be able to go back and listen to him on that broadcast as well.
It's pretty special. And two guys who knew you very well, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, are both stunned. I mean, you can hear them. They can't believe what was happening here, that you're trying to hit it out of the park, it seemed like, trying to pull it at least, and you did, and you hit it out. And I don't know if they knew this. How many people knew this, Ozzie, that you had a torn rotator cuff? Anybody?
You know, probably my teammates did, but you know, here again, it was all about finding a way to still get it done, you know. And I think that was kind of the mark of some of the teams that we had. We had guys that, and I say this all the time, Tom, if you tell me a player that says, hey, coach, I'm 100%, that's somebody who's not given 100. There was never any day that you go out there and you're an everyday player that you are 100%. You just got to figure out a way that day to make it happen. And, you know, we took a lot of pride in that. And I knew that for my teammates, my being there at 60 or 70% was probably going to be better than somebody else at 100 from a competence standpoint, and especially from a pitching staff, as far as a pitching staff goes.
And you know what else I love about it is it opens up the conversation about you as a hitter, because we all know about your 13 gold gloves and the greatest shortstop of all time, but maybe people need to be reminded that you had 2,460 hits in your career, Ozzie. You took great pride in that.
I did. You know, when I came here, when I came to the big leagues, I had no real formal teaching as far as hitting was concerned. I could put the ball in play. I ran well. You know, so those two things really kind of got me, but I continue to work. I put a batting cage in my basement. I spent countless hours, as I did from a fielding standpoint. I took ground balls and stuff every day, but I think in my generation of players, we wanted to be well-rounded. And so I was no different as far as I was concerned, and I felt that there was no reason that I couldn't be a better offensive player with my hand and eye coordination. And it was one of the reasons that I went and visited Mackie Shieldstone. I wanted to get a little bit stronger, not necessarily to hit the ball out of the ballpark, but to back the defense up. You know, I could hit a line drive the same distance as a big guy, but the likelihood of his falling in was going to be greater because the defense was back, you know. So it's one of those things that I think that over the years, I not only to prove to other people, but to prove to myself that I was a better offensive player than I was being given credit for. And even to today, you know, you'll hear people say that, you know, it wasn't that good an offensive player. And And you know, that's people's opinion. But I feel that I worked myself into a position to where when I retired in 1996, you know, I felt that I had accomplished some things that I set out to accomplish, and I was a much better rounded player in 1996 than I was in 1982.
One of the greatest Cardinals teams of all time, 1985, Ozzie hitting that home run in Game 5 40 years ago today, and it was great to hear that curtain call, too. That was had to have been just an incredible moment of elation to hear those fans. As the final thing for you, Ozzie, is your relationship with the fans. You love them dearly. I know that.
Oh, yeah. It's been very, very special from the time I got here. And, you know, even in the years where the team wasn't very good, we didn't win. There were a couple years in there that things weren't very good. But the support was always there, because I think the fans realize that though we may not have been winning, we were given what we had that particular day. And that was the mark of a lot of Whitey Herzog teams. They continue to excite and perform even in some of our darkest times, and it's what's endeared people to Cardinal baseball.
Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith, I know it's a big day. I'm certain you're getting a lot of calls. Thank you for making time for us on this anniversary date.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
There is Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Famer. That was our interview of the year for Sports on a Sunday Morning. That was a fun one for sure. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by SLU women's coach Rebecca Tillett. They play today. So do the men. And then we talk some Blues hockey. We've got Mark Schreiber and Chaim Bloom and Bernie Miklas in the 11 o'clock hour. Don't forget our college football playoff picks as well as our NFL picks. It's all coming. Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Ring Central will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. Ring Central, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
St. Bonaventure needs a bucket quick. Parker has it stolen away on the baseline by Nugent. She picked her pocket. Got it now to Dennis across the timeline. Dennis, left side of the floor. Dennis throws it cross court for Nugent. She passes up the shot just to run clock. They throw it left side. Dennis will take it. She buried the three. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, the SLU women's team, they put on a show at Chaffetz Arena. That back from December 3rd, the win over St. Bonaventure to get their A-10 schedule started. And joining us now on the line, live on Sports on a Sunday Morning on the home of the Billikens, is the head coach, Rebecca Tillett. Coach, great to visit with you. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Always great to talk to you.
Always great to be with you. You got a game today, St. Louis College of Pharmacy, 5 o'clock. Another one of these doubleheaders. I like that they do that. The men play at 2. The women play at 5. How are things going so far?
Things are going great. You know, our women had a nice break at home, which is such a valuable thing this time of the year in college basketball. And then now we're back at it. Looking forward to the opportunity to watch our men play a little bit and then get after it ourselves in preparation. You know, the end of the non-conference and the A-10 season is just ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you an obvious question here, but I know I'll get a good answer for you, is how do you get your team to play at the level that you want, knowing that the A-10 schedule is coming and you still have one more. You want them to play as if it's an A-10 matchup and respect that opponent.
Absolutely. I think, for one, if you're measuring yourself against your ability to achieve excellence, which is what we're trying to do around here, then the opponent is not what you're thinking about other than from a preparation standpoint, right? So obviously we've done our research, you know, to be prepared for today, and we need to get better than we are, you know, this morning. We're going to have shoot around here just in a bit, and then we should be better after shoot around in the next moment we're together. And that's our continual goal day by day.
That game that I just played the highlight for you, you beat St. Bonaventure 76-70 to get your A-10 schedule started, then turned around, beat Evansville, lost to Mizzou, although that game was competitive there for a bit. You ended up losing 82-66, but you came back with back-to-back wins, Jacksonville State and at Ohio. What is going right for your team right now as you are 4-1 here in the month of December?
You know, I think we're learning some things. We are starting three freshmen, so there's lessons to be learned, right? And I think this team is really committed to learning them quickly, and I think that's what we're starting to see here in December. Our defense is improving, especially from a field goal percentage standpoint. We create a ton of possessions, so there's always going to be a lot of possessions in a game that we play. But we're pleased with where we're trending in some of our early season indicators from a statistical standpoint. So I think the togetherness and the focus on defense, that's what's been making us more successful here as of late.
I asked Josh about this a lot, so I'll ask you, mixing lineups, getting the right mix and chemistry, is that something that is a fluid thing throughout the year, or do you have a handle on the right mix of players? Not necessarily starting lineup, because I'm just talking about the right five that play together. Or does it depend on matchups?
Great question. I think it is a fluid concept. Certainly, you want it to be where we know the answers as coaches of, you know, who makes each other play the absolute best. What do we do when this particular strategy is employed? We had something unique at Ohio, and I think is a good sign for this team. You know, we had our point guard, Lex Nelson, foul out, you know, unexpectedly with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and we still found a way to win. And that's a sign of a team that's really starting to figure things out, right? Some unforeseen adversity hits, and we figure out a way to counter that adversity. So that was a big moment for our team.
Absolutely. And you're also getting some very good post play. Tell us about your freshman. You're, I know, excited about what modern day high school brought to St. Louis University, or should I say what you brought to St. Louis University via modern day. We're talking about Alyssa Kirkenmeyer, who had 9 points, 10 rebounds, 3 block shots in that win over Ohio.
Well, I think the thank yous can go to Alyssa and modern day. You know, so glad that she's here. Absolutely thrilled with her development. You know, when she stepped foot on campus in the summer, she's a really quietly driven woman. If you spend time and you get the opportunity to speak with her, you can see the competitive fire, you know, flickering in her eyes. She's someone that wants her team to be great and knows that she has potentials to unlock that are there for the taking. And, you know, the conversation that she and I have pretty frequently is, okay, how do we unlock the next level of dominance in her game? And really excited about the work she puts in. She's constantly in the gym, which is what you want, right? You want your players to be really committed to their individual development and, of course, our team's long-term success, and she does both.
She is a big, big part of this team, no doubt about it. The Billikens sitting right now at 6-7, but again, 4-1 in the month of December. Here they go again as they start to enter conference play, and they, under Rebecca Tillett, tend to get better and better as they go along. Final thing, just the state of the women's game. I know that, you know that I'm a big fan of the women's game, having coached girls in the past and now watching my daughter play, and I do think that from a national standpoint, the game is finally getting some of that prime time that it needed. And it was on us on this side to be able to put women in that position. How does it feel from your standpoint, just overall what you see, both at the college and professional level?
Yeah, incredible question. And as you know, Tom, we've always appreciated your support of the women's game, and it's been long term. You know, I think what I keep saying to people is it's a great time to be a woman in sport. Those of us that have loved the game a long time, have known that there have been women for, you know, generations that have done absolutely incredible things. And the story has to be told. And to your point, the media is doing a great job of telling the story. And I do often like to know, you know, the timeline of the explosion in the WNBA and the explosion in the NBA, they are the same. The Magic Johnson, Larry Bird were 30 years into the NBA, and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were 30 years into, just a little ahead of that schedule, in the WNBA. And so it takes time to develop fan bases, and we're at a point now where it's undeniable that these stories need to be told, and that investing in women's sports, while for many years people did it because, you know, they thought, well, this is good, we should do it. Now we're at a point where not only was it always the right thing to do, it's now a profitable thing to do. So it's a fascinating time to be in an ever-changing world of women's sports, and I'm really grateful to be in it.
Well said. You know, Sophie Cunningham was at the men's game against Grand Canyon. I got to say hi to her and catch up. I hadn't seen her in a long time. It's like super celebrity there. I mean, of all the celebs that were in the house, that was a big one there from the Indiana Fever. What a season they have had in terms of being in the spotlight, and some injuries, unfortunately, weighed them down. But it is going to be fun to watch the game develop. It's fun to watch your team, and I wish you the very best today at 5 o'clock and hopefully catch up with you real soon. I know we have a bunch of your games down the road, so I look forward to that.
Well, we appreciate it so much, Tom. And we have a pretty good record when you're in the gym, so you're invited all the time.
Well, I thank you very much. I have brought a little luck there calling the game. So thank you, and I look forward to the next one. Have a great day, Rebecca.
You too. Thanks again, Tom.
Thank you. The coach, Rebecca Tillett, with us from St. Louis University women's basketball. They play at 5 o'clock today after the men play, 2 and 5 for the doubleheader today at Chaffetz Arena. We will come back. We'll talk about the Blues and hear from Jim Montgomery, Braden Shen, and some of the others after a 3-2 win over the Nashville Predators. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. And the Blues, welcome back to them. Jordan Kyrou and Jimmy Snuggerud joined the team, and the Blues looked really good last night. They won it 3-2 over the Nashville Predators. Here's Coach Jim Montgomery on a terrific start for the team.
Yeah, our first period I thought was our best period in the game. We were fast. We were good in transition offensively and defensively. I think from scoring chances we keep, they not exact maybe, but they're pretty exact. 8-2 in the first, you know, and then so that was a pleasant surprise after, you know, a 4-day break. And then we come out in the second, and we had good moments and some poor moments, you know, just not managing the puck well enough, things that you don't want to see, but you understand that bad habits would come back after not playing for 4 days, not even being on the ice. So we got through that, and then, you know, the third period, I thought we gave up too much. You know, we just sat back. When you see forward skating backwards for us and three at the same time, that's not good. We're not puck pressuring. We're not doing the things we need to do to not only defend a lead but extend a lead.
What do you feel like led to that?
You know, it's just we're not a confident team in that time of the game right now, and we got to build towards that. We haven't been in that situation all that much, and we got to develop the confidence to be the way out for each other. Like the empty net goals, I mean, we could have 5 at least by now, and it looks like we just panic, you know, and just throw the puck down for an icing.
How have you kind of felt Bucinavičius' offensive game come along?
You know what? This morning he did some creative stuff and two-on-ones and scoring goals and having his really good deception when he's shooting again. And I don't know what it is about breaks, but they go well with him. You know, so it was good to see, though, because, I mean, he was... His defensive plays tonight, they might go unrecognized, but he just put his stick in the right area, did a couple times on the penalty kill. He held a certain position that made the other team hold on to the puck 2 seconds too long. So he did a lot of good things. That line was really good for us.
know you were singing Broberg's praises a few weeks ago, but tonight, you know, breaking up plays, that pass to Thomas. I mean, you just, every game you watch him, just think that the ceiling is so high.
Yeah, I think he's a young man that really pushes himself to try and be the best that he can be every day. And we're seeing that this year, that every game, even he's been excellent for us, but he's had some games where first period wasn't very good. But he wills himself to be really good in the second. And it's just, he's becoming like a really tough-minded pro that doesn't accept mediocrity.
Pretty easy challenge for you guys on the offside.
Yeah. We thought it was. We were surprised, but maybe they didn't understand. And maybe it took a while for them to catch on to the guy had come back out, so it wasn't a delay anymore.
Yeah, it was an offsides challenge that the Blues won that negated a Nashville goal, and they went on to score. Buchnevich scored again, 3-1, and they win it 3-2. That's Jim Montgomery, the Blues coach there. Let's go to Captain Braden Schenn, who recorded his 700th career point in the game.
It means you got to keep going. That's kind of the mentality you have. You're never satisfied, but obviously accomplishment where you don't get it without opportunity from coaches, playing on good teams, good teammates, good line mates. So that's the reality of it. And I'm just fortunate and lucky and grateful for playing this league as long as I have.
What's the feeling when you beat a team that's been playing well as they are and had your number the first two times?
Yeah, it was all about the start tonight. I think that past few games we played them, we haven't came out the way we needed to, and then we were chasing the game. And you know, I thought tonight, was it our A game? No, but guys played hard. You know, there were spurts in the game. I thought we had a good first, parts of the good second, and played good defense in the third. Obviously, you'd like to have that you know, power play goal or PK goal back that they scored. But hope was great in there tonight and able to close out 6-5.
That is Braden Schenn, the Blues captain, after a win 3-2 over the Nashville Predators. That victory puts the Blues in a better spot. They're a game under 500, but they're 1 point out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Here's how it stands right now. The Blues with a record of 15-16-8, 38 points, 1 point behind Utah. Utah right now is tied with San Jose for the last wild card spot in the Western Conference, the Blues at 38 points, then a trio of teams behind them, Seattle, Nashville, and Calgary at 36 points, and Winnipeg, who the Blues just dispatched last Wednesday, 1-0. Winnipeg didn't look very good. They have 34 points. They don't look nearly like the team of last year, kind of a shell of what they used to be. The Blues, for that matter, are not what they were, but look, I mean, there's still time for them to push it here. It's just got to happen soon. Their goaltending, really good. Joel Hofer had 30 saves last night. St. Louis wins at 3-2. We'll come back with much more big 11 o'clock hour coming on KMOX.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.